You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Sid
on 98.1 The Max. You're listening to Drake in the Morning on 98.1 The Max.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
I'm a dumbass.
Why are you crying?
Because I'm stupid.
Dumbass.
One cries because one is sad. I cry because others are stupid and it makes me sad.
Dumbass.
Alex, I'm going to go with what is. You're a dumbass?
It's a dumbass party with my dumbass friends.
I'm full of stupid.
You're a dumbass.
Moron.
Hello, friends. It is the first day of March. It is Tuesday. The year is 2016. Now, the forecast has some heavy rains heading our way. At the peak of drive time, an hour or so or less, and then the majority of the day clearing by tonight. Now, tomorrow should be nice and more rain back in the forecast on Thursday. So this morning, look out for the rain from the west, and here it comes. Some high winds. Hail was mentioned. So here we go on Super Tuesday. The voting has begun across America in various states and provinces and other, I don't know, spots, caucuses and primaries and all that. So good luck. It should be a fun day to watch the American process of choosing a president. This should be interesting. Dumbass is first. Here's one that's short and sweet and hard to believe, but seemingly it is so. We all pamper our pets. They get little haircuts and baths and get their nails did and get little bows in their hair and get loved on like little children. This one, though, to me has gone a bit too far. The Daily Mail claims there is a new thing in London. It is a spa for your bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have bunnies as pets. Never understood that, but I guess they are good eating. After we get tired of them, you just put them on the grill and because it tastes just like chicken, but it's a bit sweeter. People will be able to bring their rabbits to the spa to receive facials, massages, and they get snacks while they're there.
Carrots?
Then they lettuce. Should become the snack. Avocado oil mud masks are being offered to the bunnies.
Bunnies don't want no avocado oil mud mask.
They want to eat him.
Bunnies want to fornicate and eat carrots. That's about it.
I saw a bunny this past weekend at someone's house. And that's exactly what I said when I saw it in the cage.
It was just sitting there by himself in a bunch of litter and stuff?
Yeah, I said, I guess we're having bunny today.
Just turn it loose.
I was going to say, you should have let it out.
Hack its head off and eat it. Well, no, that's, I'm sorry. If you have a little pet that's a bunny, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, but it's a rabbit.
What does it do?
Nothing.
Sits poops. There and moves its mouth, nose.
It poops and eats. Next, an avocado face mask.
Mud mask.
Whatever.
So far as that goes. In San Bernardino, California, two guys were fleeing from the police for reasons that this story doesn't disclose because the vehicle that they tried to do it in is the real story. They decided they would get away from the cops by taking a taco truck.
That's a boy.
That's subtle and blends in right with the traffic in California. Well, it didn't. The cops were chasing them, and then to make matters worse, the thieves in the stolen taco truck swiped a school bus full of kids. That ended the chase right there, as did the lights that they took down at that intersection, and then they smashed into a propane truck. They were not having a good day. They've been captured. No one was really seriously hurt. Some of the men in the truck were taken to a hospital as a precaution. Other buses took the children to school.
All right.
Two brothers in Britain were convicted of selling marijuana, and they were in front of a very nice judge. Beverly Lunt saw the remorse of these two brothers when they appeared for their sentencing and just handed them a 2-year suspended sentence.
There you go.
However, the two brothers, about an hour after the sentence, decided they'd go to Facebook and kind of mock the judge. They said one.
That's smart.
Yes. The oldest brother went to Facebook and said, "You can suck my you know what, Judge Lunt." And the younger
judge,
brother.
Oh, Lunt. Okay, good.
Went to Facebook. The younger one said, "Up your ass. Aha, nice 2-year suspension." When the judge saw this, the judge brought him back, and now they're being sent to prison for 2 years.
Well, is that because of, I mean, I guess you can't taunt a judge via Facebook?
Well, the judge said, "I thought that they had some remorse, but I see what their true feelings really are."
Up your ass is not really not a nice thing to say to a judge or anybody else. Well, it depends upon the person. Oh, let's see. London, This fellow is named Pablo Munoz. He's 47 years old. He was a janitor at Victoria's Secret. This is going to go bad real quick. However, his career in women's underwear came to an end when an employee saw him leaving a fitting room with panties falling out from underneath his pants and shirt. The next day, he was seen going into the fitting room at least five times and taking various underwears. When asked to empty his pockets, he was confronted and he was told to drop his pants. The manager saw that he was wearing some very nice Victoria's Secret panties. They're probably pretty comfortable. Police raided his home and recovered 1,048 bras and panties.
Oh, man.
He's a well-dressed perv. Value $25,000. He was asked to perform, not asked. He was told to do some all these hours of service and stuff. And he got no fine but that. He just has to go out and do something decent. He got no jail time and no fine for ripping off 25 grand of bras and panties. I guess some guys just like to do that. I haven't ever tried that, but there's still time.
I thought he might have been selling them on the side, but apparently not.
I think he was. He just liked them. A dozen British men were flying back from London to the Slovakian capital of Bratislava for a bachelor party. Unfortunately, only half of them made it. The boys started the party a little bit too soon and got upset when the crew cut them off from having any more alcohol. So that led to one of the men getting naked on the airplane. That's always your best move, is just to get totally undressed and act a fool. So they had to divert the plane to Berlin. The groom and five of his pals were tossed off the plane and detained on various charges. They could face fines as much as $27,000 and be sued by the airline. They likely won't be. They were just drunk and naked and didn't know any better. It happens to many people. Today, the polls are open. We'd love to hear how it's going wherever you are voting as it gets darker outside and this rain is looming and coming. But if you have any observations about your polling place, if there are lines, if it's quiet, we'd love to know how your day is going via Facebook or via the email inbox, whatever you choose to do. You can hear this program on the Max app. 981themax.com is where to find that. You can enjoy this radio excellence all day long if you can take it. Other things happening. Kyle Vesey is coming up to discuss issues of the city from the mayor's office. Police cameras, body cams for a change. Progress at Mud Island is in the news as well. And we'll see other things that he has going on down there with Mayor Jim Strickland. Mayor Mark Luttrell of the county, a longtime friend of our program and a good and decent man, for some reason wants to run for Congress in the state. He's been the county mayor in his second term now. He was the sheriff before that. And Mark's a good dude, and I think he wants something else to do. This job is not very exciting, I'm guessing. What do you do all day?
We never hear
no,
about him.
He doesn't. Yeah. He that's a good thing.
Yes, yeah. I would like that job.
Yeah. So Mark is a good man who's going to join this race. We will have to get him up here to ask him what he's thinking about, and we'll do that pretty soon. There are, seven or eight people have already leapt into this. I would suppose that his name will transcend all of them. I could be wrong, but the guy knows what he's doing and is a moderate, I would say. As far as politics go, he is not extreme in any way. He's moderate, sensible man. And politics needs more people like that. The early ratings for the Oscars, dismal. But in this day and time of ratings, if you do, and you know, this is what our entire livelihood is about, is ratings, radio and television. That's how this goes. When you see a number like this, it's hard to believe that this was called dismal. 34 million people is a really giant number in TV these days. It's the lowest numbers in 8 years, said the lovely people at Nielsen. They're some of our best friends. And the show was down substantially, but still watched by 34 million people. One of these stories that I saw, they haven't broken down this yet by demographic or by race. And Al Sharpton, bless his heart, claims that he is responsible for turning away the black audience from this show because of the lack of diversity. And he is taking credit for the ratings being down. And isn't that something to be proud of?
Really? Just all him?
I bet they are upset about it because they probably thought all the controversy would give them higher ratings.
I guess. I don't know. Everybody is so accustomed now to just the endless controversy, and outrage equals ratings. And so, I thought it was, but he is claiming that he and his campaign, because wherever there is smoke, there's Al Sharpton to stir the pot. Because he's on the payrolls of major corporations just to keep stirring that pot on behalf of who, I don't know. But he's just a wiener.
Is he also claiming credit for the Golden Globes and the Grammys having real low ratings compared to the years prior?
Because I don't know.
The story goes on to say that all the award shows
because have had fewer viewers. As discussed here ad nauseum, these things used to be special. And now there's an award show every week.
And they're 3.5 hours long.
And that show was 3.5 hours long for what? There's the People's Choice Awards. There's the American Music. There's CMAs, CMTs.
Don't forget about the Kids' Choice
Awards. Kids' Choice. There's the MTV. There's the Nickelodeon. It never, they're not special. And it's full of just a bunch of phony-ass people and in bad dresses and bad tuxes. So I don't know why they watch it. This year, for the first time, I had no interest whatsoever, controversy aside, because there's going to always be controversy and outrage. But I was tired of it in about 2 hours. Next.
It didn't take me long. Nah, took one commercial break.
Just didn't need it. So today is Super Tuesday. Go vote, but be careful because it is dark and it is pouring down rain here in the middle part of the city. So please be safe and have a good day. Our new friend, yesterday Danielle said that Rook rocks.
Yeah, buddy.
Tell us who she is.
Elizabeth Rook is an insurance agent.
Yes, and independent.
Yes, type. And what's special about Elizabeth Rook and her insurance is you can lock in your rates indefinitely. This is the only company that does this.
This is probably pretty unheard of. She does car and home and life and just you know, all these things. And there are no surprise rate hikes. There's nothing there that is not transparent. No statewide increases. If you have a wreck, your rates won't change. So that's a great thing. It's also good for young drivers like your kids who are 16 that terrify you behind the wheel of your car. She'll get them all covered too.
Yeah, I was talking to a niece, now a married-in niece, who's had a license for 2 years. She's on her eighth car.
Eighth?
Why she keeps getting cars, that's the first problem.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Elizabeth Rook could look, or actually Elizabeth will probably start running when she sees her. But call her about younger drivers. You should not have a younger driver without checking with Elizabeth Rook.
No, good Lord. Earthquake insurance, some companies have dropped that. I would probably want that on my home if I lived around here, because one of these days you just never know. She has two offices here in town, Lakeland on Canada Road, or Highway 51 in Covington, or call her 867-SAVE online, rookinsurance.com. Thank you, Elizabeth, for being on the program. Call her up and she'll take care of your needs for your kids or all the things you have going on. A little break, and then Kyle Veazey will join us after this.
You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Fitz
on 98.1 The Max.
I just saw her
song is means only one thing, that Shea Flynn's not here. But Kyle Veazey is. Good to see you as always. Kyle is the Deputy Director of Communications for Mayor Jim Strickland down there downtown. Someday he'll be the sheriff. I have high hopes.
You're still trying to give me that badge.
I'm going to get you one. I'm having it made. But it needs to look, you know, like the real thing, not some cheap toy store knockoff. But
I hope that generations of Memphians will associate Lee Michaels' music with
you.
This guy talking about pensions.
I know. I think that when they grow up and get old, they'll think about Lee Michaels, and then, you know, Kyle will come to mind. I think
the annual pension funding number. Yeah. That's what that song
That'll
means.
Be great. You survived the rain. You look very nice. You have a great pocket square. Your cuffs are shot perfectly.
Well, they're,
your
I mean,
tie
I don't
knot
do the French
good.
Cuffs, let's be honest. I was really happy with this suit, and I had to sit in the car and debate. You know, you have that debate. The rain is coming down. Sid's over there waiting for me. It's like 5 feet from my car door to the awning. Do you use the umbrella there?
No.
You just kind of tough it. Because when you open the door and you do the umbrella, like, you're going to get wet there.
Yeah.
So what's the use?
There is
none. So I didn't, and I got really wet.
And now you're dry, and you're fine.
Well, I went to the bathroom and used the paper towel.
There's no, it doesn't matter. But you can't pull that thing out when you're 5 feet from the door.
No, you can't.
And then when you do use an umbrella, just period, and then you get back in your car, and then you take it, and you just... You put it
oh, yeah,
over
you
yourself.
Got it over, yeah.
So then you
your
just,
lap gets wet.
Just don't use an umbrella.
And invariably, yeah. You're going to like hit something with your elbow when you do that, and it's going to shake all the water everywhere.
Wear your hoodie, and that's enough probably, but you can't wear a hoodie over a suit anyway. Will this impact voting today in our fair state?
Probably. Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking, I haven't voted, so I was going to vote on the way back in. I vote in Midtown.
Did you pass any lines, any traffic, anything?
I don't think I passed any polling places either. But I was going to vote on the way back in, and now I'm like, do I wait till lunch now? But then we have a really busy city council day today and may not get out at lunch. And,
yeah.
You know.
So we have a thing. So where are the info on the polling places where you vote? How do you do it again?
It's shelbyvote.org.
And that will show you put in your street. And they tell you where you are. Now, Sid also found something that is up on Facebook, too, I think.
And the locations are on the site, too. This is a guide to who's voting and what's at stake on the website.
The future of America.
Yeah. It's very handy.
Okay.
That's shelbyvote.com. Sorry.
Okay. Very good. All right. So on to city news. What is the city council doing today? I saw that there was that Berlin Boyd was saying I couldn't tell anymore if they're mad or if they're not. What is on today's agenda for the council?
Well, they talked yesterday in some sort of committee meeting about regulating public comment at meetings. And I think there's going to be some people who are going to show up today who are, you know, against that, as you might imagine. I'm not sure if anything's going to happen out of that today. I just think that has sort of been a thing that's been talked about.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me just kind of interrupt you just to ask you.
Sure.
Has it gotten out of control? Because the public is welcomed at these meetings to voice their concerns. Now, I know that in South Haven, Mayor Musselwhite, after his first couple of meetings, realized that this was not really a great idea to leave this untended. So now you must submit questions in advance, and then you are chosen to ask your question in lieu of just getting up somewhere to complain and rant and rave towards no end. Mm-hmm. Same concept here?
Well, you know, whether it's gotten out of control or not is anyone's guess. What they do at city council is if you want to talk, you go down, you speak to the nice officer, and you get a little piece of paper, and you put your name on it, and you get 2 minutes, right? That's just kind of the way it's worked. I guess it's the way it's always worked. I don't know. It's the way it's worked since I've been down there a few years. And some meetings, you know, at the end of the meeting when it's just kind of open public comment, some meetings, they have a lot of people who talk. And, you know, whether the council members think that's too much or whether they think that's just right is their call.
Are the arguments and commentaries valid or are they a bunch of frivolous pothole-like stuff?
Well, I would hate to be in a position to say what anyone's thought is frivolous. I do know that one of the things that has been constant, if you will, in the past year and a half, you know, ever since this whole benefit situation's been out there,
yeah.
Are people who have gone and spoken out against that. And, you know, that's
officers, their wives, their families,
just activists. I mean, who are connected to that situation.
And they're still doing it just to keep the activism alive.
I don't know that it's as much as it was, but I think that still exists. Yeah.
But shouldn't these things have a point? And there's, what do you accomplish by continually beating what is not a dead horse, but it is an issue that is in play, but what do you gain by going down there and bitching for 2 minutes?
But do you want a public body to, you know, say that the public should not speak to that body?
I don't know.
I mean, that's the fine line. Like, I see that both
there
sides
ought to
of
be
argument.
Some kind of structure, though, and not just some wide open, you know, forum to go down there just to complain ad nauseum about things that you're not going to fix.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you also have situations where there are public comments associated with actual agenda items as well. And, you know, sometimes you have people who are, you know, the classic example of sort of the good government, you know, yay thing is big development planned in my neighborhood, big thing happening in my neighborhood. I don't like it. I get 2 minutes to go down and tell the city council, hey, here's what I don't like about that.
Yeah.
And that happens often, too. You know, that's sort of
one
the
person making
of
a difference or something. All right. Yeah.
Did I dream this, or is there a problem with using my 2 minutes and giving it to you and someone else giving you another 2 minutes?
Yeah, there's an issue with that in that a year ago, I don't know when this happened. Okay. I don't know when it started, but there are times where, you know, if 10 people go down there to talk about one specific issue, 10 people can pull a card and get 20 minutes. And then pool it and give it to you, and you're the spokesman or whatever. That happens.
Why can't we just let the council do their business and let people stay home and write letters or something?
That's your take on
it's
it.
It's the like American it. Way. I mean, you know, it's fine and all, but I just think that we need to work on solutions and accomplishing things, and not just ranting and raving because they're building a you know Walmart by your house and you're not and you're pissed about it. Kyle Veazey is here. So beyond that today on the council, what is being dealt with here on March 1st?
Yeah, and to be clear, there's no agenda item, I think, on the council today that deals with that. So
okay.
I think it will be kind of maybe
a discussable. It just happened yesterday. And so they're trying to address it. There has to be a civilized fashion that gives everybody, the citizen, a chance to speak,
sure. But
not to belabor the point and ruin the entire day for everybody.
I think what you'll see at council today, so that issue is sort of like around it, right? And then the council has an item on its agenda, on its calendar, to discuss the Overton Park situation. They put it there. We're not exactly sure. I mean, you know, you hear things, but we're not exactly sure what that's going to lead to. And then the mayor is also about the same time, so like early afternoon, is going to update the council on some things related to capital funding. And what I mean by that is, here are some things that you need to know as we build our budgets in the coming years about what's on the books and where we're at.
The Overton Park situation, and our guest is Kyle Veazey from the mayor's office. This is just to watch it from afar. Is it just me, or is it becoming tiresome? And is this down to there are two parties that will decide this, I guess. Who is the ultimate decider in how this goes? Is it Jim Strickland? Is it the zoo? Is it the council? It's an issue that concerns if you live there, I got it. But beyond that, it's a major barnacle on the behind of society.
A major barnacle. Look at that.
Well, make it go away. Can you? Just
you know,
build them a parking lot.
Let me
Next.
See what I can do on that. Yeah, because we just have a lot of money floating around down there. So let's just see like what we can do with it.
Get some tar and one of them paving deals and just knock this out.
Do the garage at Bass Pro Shop while you're at it.
Gotcha. We'll take care of all that. Do you guys need anything over here while we're doing
it? I think we're good.
You're good?
I have no complaints about anything much.
Okay.
It doesn't do any good anyway. So how long can they drag this never-ending thing out?
Well, here's where it stands, okay? The mayor asked both parties to agree to and enter into mediation to work on a long-term solution.
Mediation.
And
right.
That's happening.
Yeah.
Also, at the same time, there is legal action in Chancery Court.
Right.
Filings to determine what you have here. And see, this is the this is where it gets really tedious, but this is what matters. We think of it as trees and grass and all that, and the issue. It's a battle between two contracts. I mean, you have a city-owned land, like a rectangle in the city, Overton Park, that the city over time has given contracts to the Memphis Zoological Society to run the zoo part of it, and the Overton Park Conservancy to govern certain areas of the land. You know, the Brooks Museum, also the whatever the nonprofit associated with the Brooks, they run the museum, right. That sort of stuff.
Okay.
Levittshell. There's a dispute between the Conservancy and the Zoological Society over what the contracts say their specific parts of land they're able to govern.
That's why they're in court. I smell lawyers.
There are lawyers involved. That's true.
Will a judge be the one that says, okay, enough already?
That's one of the routes that it's on. But now, as we see today, the council has that item on its agenda. And, you know, they may feel like they can weigh in on something. You know, like I say, I don't know exactly what
they're
going to do.
But if there's lawyers involved and it's contracts, what business is it of the council to weigh in on anything?
This is where we are. I can't make it make sense. I can't make it tell you what it is.
Yeah.
There are a lot of moving parts to this one.
Yes, sir.
And they all
sounds like it.
Everyone comes in from the angle, like, you know, if you're on the city council, I mean, and you represent that area or whatever, then, in, you know, someone says you don't have the ability to control that, then, you know, I'm sure you're like, well, you know, maybe I do. So we'll see at 2 o'clock today, I guess, where that grounding is in their thoughts or what they plan to do. I don't know. But I do know it will be full of people probably. And
oh,
it'll be
yes.
Tense.
We should return to the days of the duel. Just back-to-back 10 paces and just shoot. And just decide it that way. Why not? It's simpler.
That's what we should do with, like, the trolley tracks on
maybe.
The Civic Center?
Maybe so.
Okay. I'll bring that up to the mayor this
I think you should. I think that we should just start doing something about this and quit dragging this stuff out forever because of lawyers and politicians. Just my opinion. And no offense to Jim, because he's...
Those darn politicians. He's a lawyer and a politician. I will relate that to him.
It cancels each other out.
It's just a wash.
Yeah. And then he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. Kyle Veazey is our guest. Other things in the mayoral realm include the Mud Island renovation process. There were four, five, six, seven people that wanted to weigh in on this and toss their hat into the ring. That has been trimmed, I suppose. And Kevin Kane says that it's kind of like round two of a four or five round process. Is Jim involved in this, or is he letting Kevin and them figure this out?
He's letting the Riverfront Development Commission, RDC, basically choose or not choose. I mean, I guess they could get to the end of this and say, we don't like any of them, but just basically let them finish their process, pick what they want and recommend it. And then it comes to, you know, the mayor. I don't know if it comes to the council. I don't know how that works, but it will come over to City Hall at that point. And then, you know, figure out what the city's involvement is.
These things just take so long.
They do. We've been very steadfast in saying,
hurry up.
We're for, you know, anything going on over there, but, you know, we don't have a whole lot of money hanging around here for,
right.
You know, to help.
Yeah.
So that's part of the process, too.
So the other thing here is the endless discussion about police body cameras.
Yeah.
The citizenry is chiming in about why. Memphis activists. Who are these activists? Why don't you get a job or something? I mean, I like people that want to speak their piece and help the cause. Understood. But the activism is getting out of control, too. Everybody has a cause. That's great. But it really is not your job to tell the city or the police department how to do their job with body cameras.
So you're against activism?
No, I'm against endless, pointless activism.
Okay.
That doesn't accomplish anything. But thanks for your input, people, but we got a DA and a mayor and a police chief who are trying to figure it out. What is the holdup? Is there a point to their complaining?
Well, I think that any group that comes in and says, you know, we have specific concerns and we want to talk to you. I mean, the mayor/the administration is going to hear them out. So we're not closing the door on this. We've been very, very, very transparent about where the body cam issues lie. Would you agree?
Yes, I would.
And I think there's been, you know, continual updates with the council. I can't tell you how many different bullet point posts that have been written on Facebook, you know, by the mayor to say, look, here are the, here's where we are. Here are the hurdles. And, you know,
so where are we now on March 1?
The next step is the, I guess, the one shift rollout at Crump Station, which is, I'm not exactly sure. I think the last guidance I heard on that was maybe late March, early April. I'm okay. Not sure where that stands.
So that is a starting point.
It is a starting point. Good. And if you look at the last time that we gave that update, we compared it to four different cities in the country, and each of those cities are having issues about, because you're sort of first on the wave, there's not a whole lot of to model after.
Right.
And so everybody's having issues about what do we do
it's
here.
It's a very cumbersome thing to enter into.
But it is a daily and weekly topic of conversation among particularly Doug McGowan, our chief operating officer, and his staff. They are leaping over those hurdles every day.
Yeah.
And it is not getting, there's no grass growing on that one.
There's always something to look into here. So in a month from now, we'll begin the budgetary process.
Yep.
The discussion, the endless discussion about being short 400 police officers, where that's going. And this is going to re-enter the cosmos and be in our face, in the paper, on this radio show, everywhere else, for months on end, at least to the end of the process.
Yes, it will.
So is there any answer there? I saw Mike Williams the other night on some newscast. He was calm. Mike is calmed in his old age.
Good.
And there was less fist pounding, but it still has to be a concern with the crime in this city that the mayor is focusing on. And the police and the shortage there, and somewhere the twain shall meet. It's it's a mess. So what's going to be the answer to this? And there is no quick fix, obviously.
No, there's no quick fix. Even if you said today, hey, we have all the money to hire all the officers, you still have, you know, they have to go through
qualified
classes
officers.
And that's very important. You want them going through that classes. The budget is presented on April 19th. You know, he is still working through a lot of the different, you know, if you were to boil down a lot of the sort of pressure points and what he's trying to figure out, and we're trying to share those one a week now in the Friday email,
yes,
which you can sign up for at memphistn.gov/mayormail.
I have mine right here.
I know you do. So little issues like that are the flash points. And if you were to say, I'm trying to think what the number is. I think that if you were to say right now, let's assume that we had 250, we could hire 250 officers today, like they all went through like a one-day class. Let's just assume that for a second,
scary.
Right? Scary. Let's just assume that. It would cost $14 million, I think, annually when you increase the force that much. When you talk about giving, you know, we've said this figure two or three or four or eight times here, 1%. For every 1% you give police officers, for instance, it's $1.6 million. So these are the things that, if you're sitting down and you're Jim Strickland and you have all these things out on your table, here are the different, just those are the different things you have to think about.
And so
it's still a long way to April 19th. It's not a long way to April 19th in some ways, but it is still a long way to April 19th in terms of what he actually proposes.
Why would anybody want this job? There's nothing simple about this.
But I'll say, speaking of the officer, this is one thing that I think has probably been lost to some degree. And maybe not lost, because I think we've talked about it, but the PSTs are coming back.
Good.
Like that has...
Good.
That was something that was... In fact, I mean, give credit to the previous mayor. You know, his administration started that with the council. I think Mayor Strickland
was in
support of it. I don't know the answer to that. Something tells me, you know what, I don't want to come up with a number. But
enough to real officers
that's the point.
Work on domestics and on crime and not on fender benders in Midtown.
Once they are graduated from the PST program, then yes, that's however many more officers, and I'm going to try to get you that number, however many officers that is, that's more officers that can be deployed to fight serious crime.
Yeah.
And we're all for that.
And if you're down, 400, you need to make that number be eaten away at. Nice grammar. But anyway, I mean, it's
that's good. Eaten this, away at.
This does help. So this IBM thing, Kyle Vesey is our guest from the mayor's office. Jim's newsletter of Friday was about IBM and working with young people, and that's a good thing. There's nobody bitching about that, I don't think.
No, the only problem with the youth summer program is that it's not enough.
Yeah.
You know, over 5,000 apply, and we have about 1,000 some odd spots.
Golly, that's you know, well.
Got to find more money. Got to get with the private sector and have some more public-private partnerships.
Money. How about a GoFundMe thing for Memphis? Just to raise some funds to pay for the freaking bus system and the popo and whoever else needs some dough. GoFundMe.com and just get this over with.
We'll have that up by noon.
I think we should. And so Jim is now name dropping because he met Kobe Bryant. La di da. So this thing is cool, and I hope we'll keep doing this and discussing these things. But I can't imagine waking up every day and thinking, okay, I got MATA, I got the police, city council, Overton Park.
Drake Hall.
He does have Drake. I
am on his side. I bitch for a living, but I can't imagine having to hear what he hears every day from activists and this endless.
Or sometimes need. From me when I tell him you shouldn't have said that, or smile when you say that next time, stuff like that.
Well, I think that is very important to be his advisor and kind of shadow him around and make sure that his tie knot is straight and everything is good.
And the right lapel pin.
Yeah, and you're missing your flag pin. I think you're probably not very patriotic.
Well, this is my Memphis seal pin.
Yeah.
Memphis first.
All right.
I'm wearing the pocket square today because I feel like telling...
You should always do that.
I feel like telling the mayor that he should, step that game up.
That has to happen because any man who is well-dressed, shoots his cuffs and has a pocket square that barely shows. So you
barely. That's the key with the pocket square. You can't do the flourish.
If it's out way up,
no.
That's like something that somebody... Like, let's say, Liberace would do.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah. We both
great
like
minds.
We knew him very well. I did anyway. It was a long time ago.
Now, you got to have the white pocket square about quarter inch above the.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. Just barely showing. Give the mayor our best. We thank you for your time, as always. And you're going to go vote?
I'm going to go vote.
For who?
I don't know yet. No, I seriously don't
know
yet.
That's what everybody keeps saying. I don't know.
I don't know.
If I did know, I would say, I'm not going to tell you. I just don't know yet.
It's the weirdest feeling, isn't it?
I know.
It's the first year ever.
I think it's the first year. I've voted in, I don't miss an election, right? I love to vote. It's the first year in my, 15 years of voting that I really don't know. But I feel, you have to vote.
Yes,
I do. I feel that way.
But it's a feeling of I don't want to waste my vote, but I don't want to vote for that person. But I don't know if that vote
exactly
count
right
for that.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Yeah. Well, and you have that, Chris, when both the polls today, in Tennessee over the weekend, Trump by 18, Hillary by 20 some odd or something. So
it's kind of a foregone conclusion.
But you got to vote.
I guess. Yeah. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Hell yes. Go, yay. Yeah, yes. USA, USA.
Play some patriotic music getting out of the break here.
Yeah, I got something. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Well, go vote and get back to me on that PST number by today.
I'll get back to
you. COB.
I will absolutely do that.
All right, bro. Thank you, Kyle Veazey. We'll see you next Tuesday. Dixie Pickers has two stores in town. They are both fabulous. Our friends Dawn and Damon and their puppies are in there all the time with new lines of clothing coming in for spring, for turkey season. They have all this stuff is on sale now as they clear it out to make room for all the new things coming in. They have the brand new custom 901 Memphis belt made just for them by Smathers and Branson. It's only at Dixie Pickers. Mountain khakis coming in for the spring. All your camo needs, shotguns and ammo for turkey season. Memorabilia, gifts, shoes, cologne, clothing, and more. One-of-a-kind vintage finds and classic collections that celebrates Southern passion and men in general. It's a very macho store. And they have lots of great things for your husband or your dad or your son or whomever. Just cause you want to go buy them something nice. Poplar and Yates here in the middle part of town or out in the town square in Collierville. DixiePickersStore.com is their website. Go see them. We thank them for being on this program. A little break, and we'll come back with more of the fun of this March 1st in just a few minutes.
This is not your show for breaking news. It's your show for the stories that matter and interviews with the people that make Memphis, Memphis. This is Drake in the Morning on 98.1 The Max.